In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, amen. Today's gospel is a gospel that is rich in spiritual lessons and in teaching. And I think before we get into explaining it, it's important for us to understand the context that it comes in. We have an angel of the Lord appear to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." What's strange is that just a few verses before that, the scribes and the Pharisees are remembering the prophecies that said, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So Saint Joseph and Saint Mary know that they have just, that Saint Mary has just given birth to the future king of Israel. And Saint Mary received all these promises, saying the Holy Spirit will overshadow you and the power of the Most High will come upon you. Yani, as soon as the baby is born, I'm sure they're wondering, all right, let's get this kingdom thing started. This is great. And all of a sudden, within a very short time, an angel tells Joseph, "Go and flee." Go and flee? Didn't you just say that he's going to be powerful and the power of the Most High and all this amazing stuff? You're asking us to flee? How is he going to be king? How is all this going to happen? But you see, in Joseph, we learned so much from this incident. Even Christ himself suffered persecution. Even Christ himself was living in a place where his life was at risk. I think it comes at a perfect time as we continue to mourn and be sad over what's going on in Egypt and the persecution of the Christians in Egypt. And often people come, they say, "Abuna, where's God in all this? Is he sitting back and watching? Isn't he powerful? Isn't he mighty? Can't he do something?" I feel like number one in this message, we see that Christ can tell us exactly, or it confirms exactly what St. Paul tells us. That in all points he was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Christ himself went through the same thing that each and every one of us are going through, and our brothers and sisters in Egypt are going through, and he knows. And he knows what it's like to be a victim. He knows what it's like to be oppressed. He knows what it's like. There is no way that God is sitting on his throne in heaven, ignoring the fact that his people are in need and they're suffering. There's no way. Which is why the authors of the gospel intended on making it clear to show us that Christ himself went through everything just like we did. You have to understand what the implications are of Joseph asking or being asked to flee to Egypt. Egypt is a place, they're all pagan worshippers, they don't know the true God. Jews spent their whole lives trying to get out of Egypt. And now you're telling me to go back to it? Does that make sense? Sometimes the difficult circumstances in our life, God wants to bring out much fruit from them. Number one, he wanted this opportunity to be a blessing for the land of Egypt. That we know that when Christ went to Egypt, he blessed the land of Egypt. And Egypt became a place which is the only church in the whole Bible that has a prophecy about it that says, "And there will be an altar in the midst of the land of Egypt." What altar is in the land of Egypt? There are no other altars in the land of Egypt except for our Coptic church. Christ went and he is the one that blessed the land of Egypt. That it would be his place. That it would be a place of blessing. You see, first, Christ accepted the worship of the Magi. Those who were from Babylon. Those who were Gentiles. And now, in the beginning of his life, he's saying, this is a different type of kingdom. You're going to go and you're going to bless the land of the Gentiles. And he went and he blessed the land of Egypt. And our Coptic church is such a blessed church. I'll tell you a neat story. When I was in Egypt, I heard this amazing story of a Chinese woman who was living in China. And she was working for an elderly Christian woman. She was there to accompany her, to cook for her, to be with her just in case she falls or to help her out. And this elderly Christian woman began to tell her about Christ and tell her that she should know him and he is the true God and all this stuff. And the Chinese woman didn't want to accept this stuff. Well, there was another young girl working in the house. She happened to be Coptic. But she asked the other girl, what is this old lady talking about? What's the deal with this lady? She keeps on telling me about Jesus and he's God and all this nonsense. Of course, she was Buddhist and she didn't know any of this stuff. But the Coptic girl said, you should listen to everything she's telling you. What she's telling you is true. But these words began to stick in her head and she began to think and reflect and saying, if there's a God out there, is it true that I've never heard of him and I don't know anything about him and people in China haven't heard about him? And she began to seek more and seek more. And to make a long story short, Christ himself appeared to her. And he began to reveal himself to her. And he said, you need to be baptized. She said, baptized? I don't know where to go. You Christians, you have Protestants and Catholics and Orthodox and non-denominational. I don't know anything about Christians. Where do I go? He said, I want you to go to the Orthodox. She said, okay. Fine. The Greeks, the Antiochians, the Russians. Where do I go? Christ said, I want you to go to Egypt. And he sent her a place to go to be baptized in Egypt. And this woman is now a Coptic Orthodox Chinese nun living in Egypt. Christ himself told this woman when he appeared to her, go to Egypt and be baptized in Egypt. They have kept the faith. They have kept what I've established there. He has blessed our land. Egypt is a blessed country, and it was blessed because of this. God sometimes allows tough circumstances in our lives that we would be a source of blessing. That we would be a source of blessing. I have a very good friend who has a terminal disease, and he's in and out of hospitals. And he's always in there for long periods of time, and he always has a roommate in his hospital room that he always finds himself going through the same amount of pain, the same amount of suffering. But the people that are always with him in the room always look to him as someone that is shining, as someone that they could see peace in. But he's suffering the same amount that they're suffering. He could be a person of blessing, a source of blessing in the trial of his life. Can you look at the circumstances in your life and ask yourself, are you a source of blessing? I imagine now many of our brothers and sisters in Egypt are called to be sources of blessing. That now that, okay, the chaos in the streets and all this stuff is, it's still there, but it's calmed down a little bit. And now people went back to work and are going back to every day. Everyone wants to see how they're going to respond. What are they going to say to their coworkers? How are they going to treat the people around them? And this is the time, in the tough circumstances in their life, to be sources of blessing. That one day, the people that they are surrounded with in this foreign place or in this place where people don't understand why they are the way they are, they could be a source of light and a source of blessing to those that are around them. Sometimes God asks us to go to difficult places or to have difficult times in our life in order that he could use us as a source of blessing. Who else? Joseph of the Old Testament was sold by his brothers, sent to Egypt so that he could be a source of blessing for Potiphar's house. Well, maybe you're saying, well, Potiphar never ended up knowing God and he was whatever. You say, okay. And then he used those circumstances little by little to find himself as second man in line after Pharaoh to be the source of blessing for the whole world. Difficult circumstances, But he used his difficult circumstances in which he was sold away from his brothers and his father and everything that he knew into places of discomfort where he was imprisoned and he was this and he was that to be a source of blessing. Another thing that Joseph was asked was to protect his Jesus. He was saying, I want you to flee to protect Jesus and to protect his mother. Each and every one of us are called to flee in order to protect our Jesus. I'm going to talk about one thing we need to flee from. We need to flee from lust. We need to flee. Christ himself taught us in the prayer to our Father, he said, lead us not into temptation. The fathers of the church say, the meaning of that means, I don't even want to face temptation. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to have to face it because I don't want to be susceptible to temptation and to fall. So we say, lead us not into temptation. Don't deliver us anywhere near it. St. James tells us, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Are we resisting? Are we resisting? Are we fleeing? Are we running away? That even Joseph of the Old Testament, when Potiphar's wife came to seduce him, he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He even left the garment that he was wearing and fled away. He fled from temptation. You see, others didn't flee. David the prophet, when he saw the temptation, he did not flee. When he saw Bathsheba bathing, he went and he fell into temptation. The man after God's own heart. David, the righteous, the holy man that wrote all the Psalms, he fell in this. Samson, one of the strongest men of the world, strongest men who had the power of God in him, that when he gave in and made himself susceptible to temptation with Delilah, he gave her the secret of his power and he lost it. He lost it. We need to be watchful. We need to be awake and we need to run and we need to flee from temptation. It's not strange for people to say, but I didn't know this was, even people that are married, it was just a normal friend. She was just somebody that was supporting me in a tough time. He was just somebody that offered me a helping hand when I was down. I didn't know it was going to lead to that. I didn't know it was going to lead to this mistake or to this crisis or to this big sin in my life. We are all weak, which is why we must flee from sin. We must run. We must do everything that we can to run away. St. Paul tells Timothy, Timothy the righteous, in whom he saw so much virtue and he saw that he was living the scriptures, he said, flee from youthful lusts. Timothy, the holy boy, the holy man that you were entrusting the church with, you're telling him to flee from youthful lusts. We have to flee. We have to resist. Everyone needs to look into their life, from the greatest of us to the least of us, to the most spiritual to the least spiritual. We must flee from sins that take root in us. That's why the Bible tells us, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. There's nothing easy about interpreting that verse. Your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. There's nothing easy about that. But you don't want sin to take root in you and to destroy you. Be watchful, be careful. We have to learn how to protect our Jesus. To protect what Christ is inside of us. You don't want the devil to take away the grace of the Holy Spirit from you. To fill your hearts with lust, to fill your hearts with temptation or love of the world, that the power of Christ in your life becomes so weak. Protect your Jesus. Your first opportunity to do it is after you partake. How do you guard this holy gift that you were given? When you leave the church and people want to gossip with you and people want to talk about this person and people want to insult this person and they want to do this and they want to do that, are you ready to guard what was given to you? Flee. run out of church and flee from sin, lest they try to kill the Jesus in you. The devil is coming to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Christ has come to give us life and to give us more abundantly. Can you guard what you are given? Can you protect the Jesus that is in you? Is the Jesus that is in you, is the spiritual life in you in danger? Is it in danger of being killed by the enemy? Then God is telling you today, flee. Flee from that environment. Many of us, we tell ourselves, but I'm strong or I'm wiser than that. Solomon, who received wisdom from God himself, was not wise. He was not wise enough. He was not wise enough. Do not depend on yourself. Oh, but I'll go to this holiday party and I promise you I'll be strong. Then I realized I didn't want to be the oddball. I didn't want to be the person that sticks out. I have to participate in all these corporate festivities and I need to be this, I need to be that. Because you didn't guard yourself and you didn't flee. It's important that we resist. And lastly, Joseph was called to have experiences, intimate, private experiences with Christ. He's going to go to Egypt. He doesn't have any source of income. He doesn't know anybody there. He doesn't have any family. There's no temple. There's no priest. There's no scribes. There's nothing there. And he was told to go there and stay until I tell you otherwise. Or until Herod is dead. And he was told to go away that he would experience God. Maybe the difficult circumstances in your life, or the odd things that God asks of you to do that you cannot understand, he wants you to grow in experience with him. Like Elijah. Elijah himself was the strongest prophet, that he was talking very boldly against the most wicked king of Israel, King Ahab. And he told him, by my word, it will not rain for 3.5 years unless I say so. He was bold. God told him, Elijah, go away to the brook of Kidron. What? I'm the only one that's brave enough to talk to King Ahab. He wanted him to go away, that in that time where he was living, he would experience God. That God would bring him a loaf of bread by a raven. And that God himself would feed him by a widow that has no food. A widow that is dying of hunger is going to feed him. Experience. God wants the difficult circumstances in your life to give you a rich experience with him. But as long as you are avoiding the will of God or the call of God to enter into experiences with him, you'll never be rich in experience with Christ. Your faith will always stay weak. It is important that we learn to go out and to depend. God sometimes will call you to Egypt and you will not understand. And it will not make sense. I wonder how much Joseph would talk to his baby Jesus, and say, I don't know where we're going to get food today. It's Sarraf. You're God. You are the one. You are the Savior. You're the one that was sent to us. Do something. I would imagine that every day he was discovering new things about this newborn baby that he's caring for. Is God asking you something difficult today? Is God challenging you something that you keep on telling God, I just can't do it. It's too hard. It's too hard. God is trying to save you by calling you. He's trying to save you by calling him. Look at Moses. Moses himself, who was living in the palace, who was taught all the great wisdom of the Egyptians, after he had killed the Egyptian, he found himself a measly little shepherd in the middle of Midian by himself, lost everything, and he began to grow in knowledge of God. Then at the end of 40 years, God said, now you're ready to deliver your people. Before, when you tried to deliver your people with your own hand and you killed the Egyptian, you couldn't do it. But when you came to know me, when you saw me, when you saw me in the burning bush, and when you came to experience me daily, it was then in the quiet of the wilderness that you came to know me, and then you could be the deliverer of Israel. God wants to build us up. He wants to make us a mighty kingdom for Him. He wants to make us a mighty people. But you have to be able to hear His voice. When He calls you and tells you to go to Egypt, you have to pick up and go. There may be nothing beautiful about Egypt. There may be nothing easy about Egypt. There may be nothing familiar about Egypt. But when you go, I have many plans for you there. You'll be a source of blessing. You will protect your Jesus. You will grow in experience of Him. I pray that we could learn from these great mysteries, that we could learn from this great message that we saw in Joseph, in his obedience, that he would go to the land of unfamiliar, that he would go to a place of difficult circumstances and find blessing in it. I pray that each and every one of us can reflect on this and go back and guard the Jesus that you're going to be given today. Don't let anyone take him from you. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let him steal the presence of Christ from your life. Guard him with everything that you have. And glory be to God forever. Amen.